Somewhere over the internet in the sky. Get the cloud, the sky. All the tools that you dreamed of, we're talking on the fly. That's it.
Applause.
Okay. I tried. It was very last minute. Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast talking about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we have a guest, John Ballin. Say hello, John.
Hello. How's it going?
Great. Our topic of the day is Express.
Ooh,
we're going to talk a little bit about Express, Node, middleware, all those fun things. So John, tell us about yourself.
Okay, so name's John, obviously.
Where did we find you?
Where do you find me? I work at IBM's Mobile Innovation Lab. Currently, I'm working on projects like the IBM Swift Sandbox. I'm working on a Swift Package Index, which will kind of like NPM for Swift modules, which will be really cool. So there's a bunch of projects they're working on in there. We're working on things like an application, like an iOS app to help you navigate like stadiums and help you find your friends in a stadium and talk to smart screens and all that fun
That's
stuff.
So rad. Right?
So
you get to do like the really fun things.
No, I was so jealous when I saw your demo last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, last week.
Wow, we just build software.
We work on the Bluemix platform. So tell us more about this Swift sandbox.
Okay, so the IBM Swift sandbox is a way for you to run Swift in a browser without having to have a Mac, because traditionally Apple wants you to run all their software on a Mac. They don't really want you to run it on anything else. They want you to buy the Mac. But with now that they've open sourced Swift, that allowed us to kind of take the compiler, the Swift compiler, and put it in something called Docker, which is just like a way of running Linux in a small little environment, a small little container. So we stick Swift in there, and your browser can just talk to that container and send code up to it, and it processes your code and sends results back, and it allows you to write Swift code and try it out in the browser. You don't need any setup. There's no setup required. Just go to the URL, and you can just have fun.
Really rad. And this is the first time that you're able to do this in your browser, right?
Yes. So it's actually kind of funny because we've had a bunch of people copying us lately. Like, I feel like when you make something really cool, you know, it's really good when people start copying you and trying to do the exact same thing. So yeah, it's been really cool. And this is actually really big for me, I think. So it's kind of gotten me into a lot. It's gotten me good at things like what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Like Express and Node and all that fun stuff.
Was this your first big project with Express?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, before I actually wrote a documentation system for our lab that we used Express, but that wasn't that exciting, right? Like, how fun can that be?
Right.
So this was like the first big thing, I guess, a bunch of people, you know, in the world wailed at,
right,
and had a field day with. And that's kind of nerve-wracking,
yeah,
when you write up something like that. And,
yeah.
Were you expecting it to get so big so fast?
No.
It sort of happened.
We were not, no. And, well, it was funny because I remember, like, when we deployed it, we were just, like, sitting there,
right,
like, we sent it out. We're just like,
yeah,
okay, let's wait for the IBM publicity machine to kick in. And actually before, so they were supposed to tweet out a bunch of stuff at a certain time. And before all that happened, we just started seeing things pop up on like the Next Web, and I think 9to5Mac started posting on it. And
I think John Gruber tweeted about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it actually, it was through a John Gruber tweet, who's the guy who writes Daring Fireball.
Yeah,
oh,
he
nice.
Tweeted it,
yeah,
which was super
cool. It was
cool.
On Hacker News, that's
Hacker
right.
News,
yeah.
Yeah, everywhere I was looking, I could see the Swift sandbox.
The original one was on GitHub, I think. I think that's kind of like the seed. Just someone posted it on what did I say GitHub? I meant Reddit.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I said GitHub.
Well,
so many tools
I was
on the brain.
Ask,
like, how does that work?
There's the GitHub Explorer page.
No. On Reddit. I'm sorry. How do you get those two confused? But anyway, but
you're
yeah.
on both all day, probably.
Yeah.
So, someone posted on Reddit, and I think that's kind of like the seed. And it was kind of funny because we saw a bunch of people trying to break it. And it was kind of satisfying to see that, like, when we kind of checked, like, the server health and stuff, and nothing was breaking, and people were obviously trying to break it because people were posting things about what they were doing.
Nice.
So that was kind of exciting to see, kind of see it all work, and nothing blew up too badly.
That's awesome.
So
before we get into talking more about Express, let's take a step back and define what is Express. Why would you use it in a project?
So really, like, you have Node, right, which is just like writing JavaScript to kind of do whatever you want. So you can write like software locally and just make command line tools to do whatever you want, right?
Server side.
Yeah. JavaScript. Well, not even that. You can just write anything in Node, really. But what Express allows you to do is allows you to write a piece of software that acts as a server. And so you can write it in just vanilla Node if you would like, but you're going to experience a lot of pain and a lot of suffering trying to write that all out yourself because you have to use all the Node standard library and all that fun stuff. And Express puts a lot of syntactic sugar and gives you quite a lot of... It's quite powerful. It's actually quite... The thing about Express is I think it looks complicated at first because they start using a lot of weird words like middleware and they start... And some of the method names are so small that they're kind of... scary to look at, like use, like what does that mean? And so but I think when you kind of understand how it's all working, it's actually quite I dare I say beautiful, like it's because it all just fits so well together. It's actually quite straightforward. But yeah, you use Express to help you write like a server. It's usually HTTP servers, but you can kind of do whatever you want in it.
Cool. So what is some of the syntactic sugar? Like, what are the advantages?
So Express, obviously, like, it gives you things like post and get and put. So you can make your, what they call an app, and you can say, like, someone posts this route, I want to do this, and then return this JSON back. Quite easily, you just say res.json, and it just sends it. It just does it by itself. Express knows how to do that. You can do get, you can get put.
And that stands for resource, just...
It stands for response. It stands for response,
okay,
yes.
Okay, because there's... I know with Express, there's like resrec. That's response.
Request and response.
Okay, because, and that's like the crux of how...
And that's like the crux, right? But really, you can't do anything powerful unless you're using middleware. And Express out of the box, you just get this app and then it's kind of expecting you to put these like things on it called that we call middleware. And in fact, when you do like your app.get, so when I say .get, I'm saying there's like a method called get, and there's a method called post and a method called put, and that actually takes middleware as its argument. So really you're using middleware everywhere throughout your application, and that's kind of what makes Express so powerful. And you can actually you can kind of layer middleware on top of middleware on top of middleware, so you can get what they call mini apps. So you can have like your mega app, and then you can make a bunch of mini apps and kind of stitch those mini apps together to make make your mega server that does a bunch of cool things. And some of it's using socket IO, and some of it's just doing post requests, or like it's handling all your API methods or something. And then you have another one that's serving the website. You can kind of split it up however you want. But I would say that's kind of what makes Express so powerful, is it kind of abstracts away all the details and just says, all you really have to care about is, like, what do you want to get? What do you want to post? If you want to do normal Node things in there, you can, like, because you just stick it in the middle, you just type, do whatever you would normally do, write some JavaScript, do whatever you feel like. And, yeah, so I'd say that, like, the sugar is this middleware.
Right.
That I keep saying.
For me, the biggest reason to why for Express, or the simplest reason, is for the Express router, right?
Yes.
So in the basic Node, you have to do, so that get and post concept is, it is a Node, but it's complicated to do get and posts. There's quite a few lines of code you have to do, and it's kind of it's a pain in the hassle to manage routing in Node by default. Express makes it so simple, and then adds this layer of middleware to make it actually useful for everything else as well. I know about last year there was this kind of mini conflict, not a conflict, but Koa was released last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, what year is it? So when Express 4 came out, it revamped some of the API syntax, and it came out the same time as Koa, and Koa, it was built by the guy who built Express, with the concept that they were going to strip out some of the middleware that Express came with, and hypothetically, it was supposed to be the new Express, and then it ended up that everyone just liked Express anyways, and liked the basic middleware it came with, like the router, and stuck with it. So that was a kind of a fun thing for me, at least, exploring different options to Express, and now Express just won out completely. So I've not heard of anyone using Koa before, so...
I bet you it's because people...
Very hipster of you.
Hipster.
Yeah. I think it's because people always, like, and I kind of, like poop on Express for this sometimes, but like it's because Express depends on the, it's very heavily dependent on the order that you put
things exactly
in. And that's what I think what people get upset about is that you have to put things in a specific order. And if you mess up the order, you can have kind of the right ingredients.
Right.
But if you put them in the wrong order, it'll explode and crash.
I kind
and burn.
Of like that because you know where to look inside of an app when you're using Express because you're expecting things to be in a certain order.
That's true. And you can kind of trace it.
Yeah.
Yes. Because if you have a bug, you
right,
can just trace through which of the layers it's moving through, and then you can kind of figure. I can't solve that. I know that's like the grossest thing in the entire world to debug, but it's JavaScript. Like, what else can you do? So you just stick some console logs in there, and if it doesn't reach one of them, then you know, oh, it broke on this one. It's just magic happening.
When I first used Express, I kind of just copied somebody else's code, and I didn't know about this order thing. And
it's a nightmare.
I put something in new, and I was like, why isn't it working? And it spent like a week or two before some stack is changed.
And
that's awful about that.
The thing is, I think, as well, is that some libraries that you use that are designed for Express, like Express plugins,
right,
they require other pieces of middleware,
right,
but they don't give it to you.
Right.
So what they'll make you do is they'll say, well, you need to like require the body parser.
Right.
But you have to use that before you use the plugin that you want, which can get really complicated if you're not reading their docs and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and we've been talking about middleware for a little while on this podcast. Let's define that.
Yeah. So when I started Express, that was like such a mystery to me. Like, what the heck is this thing? And what middleware is literally just a function. It's just a JavaScript function, and it typically takes three parameters. It takes what's called the request object, which a lot of people will just type req. It's a rec. Then you have and then you have res, which is response. So you have the response object. So those are both objects. And then the third argument is actually a closure, and a closure is just another function called next. And the idea is that you can define this middleware to do whatever, right? So that piece of middleware can either handle the request, or it can send it to the next piece of middleware. So you can think of that your middleware is just standing alone up in the world, and just a request object pops in, and it gives you this response object and next function. It's kind of like escape hatches to kind of say, well, you can either exit and handle it, in which case the request is over, or you can call next, which just hands it off to the next guy, and I don't care who the next guy is, but I'm just going to hand it off. So what does that mean? Well, that means that you can make middleware do a bunch of things. You can make middleware that just straight up sends a web page back, which is the easiest kind of middleware to write. So you can write a piece of middleware that says, when you access the home route, send me the home page. Send file index.html, and it will, quite happily. You can make middleware that'll do like some like parsing of JSON or something. So maybe you're feeding JSON or there's something coming in from the request that you need to like manipulate and kind of move around a little bit. You can send that in. It can kind of massage things, move things around, then just call next to send it off to the next guy in line to kind of operate on. And this is actually really cool as well, because you can write your own middleware and kind of share it with the world. So it's super modular. I can write a piece of middleware and give it to you if I want to, and you'll just stick it in by saying once you've written a piece of middleware, and again it's just a function, you'll use what's called express.use. So you'll usually say var app equals express, and then you'll say app.use, and then you'll hand it the function, a reference to that function, and that can either you can either just hand it, like I said, a reference, or you can just write like a closure in there and just define it on the fly. So you can say app.use function, open parentheses, rec res next, you know, and then do whatever you need to do in there. So
cool. So what's an example of middleware that somebody might write and then just share out for other people to use?
The first thing that comes to mind, because there's a lot of it, the first thing that comes to mind is the one that we used that I talked about in that talk. It's actually called Too Busy. I thought it was kind of a cool name for it. So basically, there's a piece of middleware that you can download online called TooBusy.js. And, it's hard to describe because actually TooBusy technically isn't a piece of middleware, so that's probably a horrible example to give. Body parser is one, actually. Let's go with that one, because that actually is middleware. TooBusy isn't actually middleware. We kind of turned it into middleware, so that's probably a terrible example. But body parser is one of them, for example. So if you send up like a post request, it'll typically send You need to be able to access the body of the post request to get any parameters that some client might send to you. And in that case, you need to require this body parser so that it can go into the body, grab the JSON for you, and stick it into the request object. And what's nice about that is you can say, like, okay, so you might say, like, app.use body parser. So you'll have to require the body parser at the top of your file, but that just comes with Express. So I think Express 4 is what it used to come a part of it, or you have to download it separately.
Express 3 was part of it, and Express 4, it's a separate module. You have to include it.
You have to NPM install it.
Yeah, install it.
That's it.
Yeah.
What is up with everything becoming so much more pluggable?
And now we have Express 5 is coming out soon, too.
Oh, boy.
Doing more of this stuff, so.
All right.
So you have this body parser, and you'll require it, right? And then you'll app.use it.
Right.
And then your next piece of middleware could be like a post request handler. So you could have app.post and then say handle this post request. But because you've got the body parser coming before that, when the request comes in from the client, maybe it is a post request that's eventually going to hit this route. But first, it's going to make its way through the body parser, which will take out the JSON, put it into the request object for you, so that when you get to the post request, to get that body JSON, all you have to do is say rec.body. And now you have the JSON that came inside of that post request, which is quite nifty. So that's an example of one. The one I was talking about earlier has to do with like latency on a server, and it's
still pluggable. You can still
it's still pluggable, but technically, so this is actually a good thing to talk about as well, because you can turn things that aren't middleware into middleware. So, like, too busy is not middleware, as I said.
Go on, sir.
is not middleware. And that's just JavaScript. It's just vanilla JavaScript functions, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the point of it is we had a, just as a bit of backstory, we had a bug in our sandbox for a while, but we had too many people hitting us at one time. And basically, the idea is you can either let everybody in and everybody's going to be hitting this server really hard by sending in a bunch of Swift jobs and you have to process them all, and it's just going to get really, really slow eventually until we start getting 503 errors and things start melting. I say that the server's melting when that happens. And the server, it starts melting. And so, yeah, there you go. Good reference to that. So, I can't even remember. That completely.
You're too busy. Server.
Yes. So you can do that, right? But then it's actually better if you can turn away people once the latency starts getting too high, because then the server's getting close to melting, but you're kind of preventing it by turning people away at the door when it starts getting too busy. So you have this JavaScript function that is just vanilla JavaScript. It's called too busy. And you can say like the max lag I'm going to allow is 100 milliseconds. And if the lag is more than that, then I'm just going to turn you away at the door. And the way you ask it that is you just call a function called too busy, and it's going to say true or false. And there you go. So that's pretty straightforward, right? But the way you can turn that into middleware is you can wrap that in a function you just create a function, rec, res, next. And you can say, if too busy, so the request comes in, it's going to check if it's too busy. If it's too busy, then return a status 503 or whatever your favorite error code is for that. You just turn your favorite number. So preferably 42. One. Preferably one that's actually like the browser can understand. Yeah, but
42, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
That.
Yeah, but but if I'm not too busy, then I'll just call the next guy in line. I'll call the next function, and that'll actually call up like our routes, and that can call up our socket stuff. So that's going to actually kind of let you in the front door, if that makes sense. You can begin playing with the sandbox. So we don't even let you get to the to the web page, and we don't even let you get to the socket stuff if we're too busy. So you can turn functions that aren't middleware into middleware if you would like. I mean, some of them are going to be a bit more intricate than that. Like that one's a really easy example. This thing, I'm sure there's ones that like will get more intricate. Like you can't just like take a piece of middleware and wrap, or take a piece of a function and then wrap it in if this, then this, otherwise next. That might be too simple for a lot of purposes, but I think that's a good example of like.
Yeah, I think once you grapple with the concept that middleware is just a function with three parameters, as you said, the rec
res next. That's all you have to know.
Rec res next. That's all you have to know.
Yeah,
that's it.
And next is just convention. It could be callback.
Yeah.
It is just a callback.
FTP is like CB.
It's just,
yeah, you can name it whatever
CB,
you want.
Right.
It basically just is another function that
right.
allows you to go to the next piece of middleware. And I think that's what
right.
makes it confusing, is Express will...
So Express
will be literal
passes
about
in the function. Express calls the function when you say app.use, calls the function, and passes
yes.
in the three parameters, which is the res, and then the callback call to next in the
mm-hmm.
scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And once you wrap your mind against that, that's all it is, middleware has become much more... simple.
Love it. I feel like we simplified it so much in this episode. That's a great explanation of middleware.
But it is the hinge, though, to like how you get all the power out of Express, because if you're not using middleware, then you're not really using Express.
Right. Like, I just think every tutorial you read now will walk you through using the cookie parser, body parser. It's very rare that I see a very bare bones documentation behind Express at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think documentation's pretty good.
Yeah,
on it.
Express actually has good documentation. Unlike many
props
oh,
to everybody
projects.
Who worked on it. We're impressed. So last question for you. What advice would you give to somebody who's getting started working with Node, Express, middleware in applications?
So I would just say be as ambitious as you can. I feel like don't restrain yourself because that's the way you're going to learn, how to do things and how not to do things. So, this can apply to any sort of software in general, I guess. But I would just say, think of something cool. So don't make you can make an HTTP server, and that's kind of cool, I guess. You're kind of doing cool things. But, do things because I think really where your software is going to shine is, you kind of make, a bunch of things talk to each other instead
right.
of just, making an Express server. So, I don't know, do something silly. I bought a Raspberry Pi recently.
Really?
So putting Node on the Raspberry Pi, and then you can hook little sensors up to the Raspberry Pi if you want to, and then
what are you doing?
I'm just running a little media server.
Okay.
I'm just playing with these, but I'm just giving you an example
right, okay.
of I bought a Raspberry Pi, but I'm not doing it for that use. in the experience lab downstairs, so mobile innovation lab, we have this idea of an experience lab. We just play around with a bunch of technology. But we have Raspberry Pis in there, and one of them is, and that uses Express as well. It's talking to a Bluetooth speaker to simulate a stadium. So the idea is that when someone walks in, I think it senses that you've walked into this space, and it sends a notification out to the Bluetooth speakers to say, begin playing a stadium hum, a noise of people cheering and people walking around stuff. So you walk in and it just kind of begins. Yes. So what I'm saying though, the point is the advice is just think of something like that. Cause I really I feel as we move to kind of a more connected world, everything's going to require a server. So some sort of thing that's kind of guiding everyone around. And I think that's exactly what Express does, right? Helps you make servers. So just think of something really cool. And most likely it's going to need some sort of orchestrator or some sort of server, right? And I think that's a good opportunity for you to really get more power out of Express and figure out
dream big.
Just dream big, yes, is what I'm trying to say here.
So,
dive to the deep end. And you learn how to swim.
Yes. And then you'll be great.
Drown.
And then you'll be Express. Yeah. No, you'll be fine. And then also, don't be afraid to ask questions while people on Stack Overflow really
so
friendly.
If you could give new people a couple resources, what would you link them? What helped you the most when you were learning Express?
It's a great question, Chris.
Thanks,
you know. Well, I'm about it. I'm a terrible example of this because there's a guy in our lab that really knows Express.
Oh.
Asked him a bunch of questions, but
people around you is a great resource.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's obviously things like Stack Overflow and stuff, which sometimes they may come across as mean, but don't worry about it. Just they're fine. They're nice people. I go on there a lot and answer a bunch of questions. So Stack Overflow is a good resource. Look at some servers that people write online. Look through their code.
There's
Egghead.io, whatever his name. I think it's Egghead.io.
Yeah,
Egghead. He's really good. He's really good. Yeah, he makes a lot of videos.
Oh, the Express course on Code School is really good.
I haven't used that.
That's
one.
That's the one course I really like to
I
help
think
me understand
we reference
servers.
Egghead.io. Every episode.
Oh, really?
Every episode.
Okay, well, just keep going to Egghead.io. You'll be great.
advertising for you.
No, but he is really good. I mean, I've looked at some of his tutorials before, and honestly, the best way I've learned is just by doing more.
Yeah.
Because eventually you use, like, Express enough where you're like, what the heck is this use thing that I
right.
keep using over
yeah.
and over, I keep using over and over again?
Yeah.
And so eventually you Google it, and yeah, and
yeah.
funnily enough, with Express, the documentation is pretty good. So I would recommend going through the documentation. If you just search Express middleware and
right.
click on Express's link, they have it's more like paragraphs instead
right.
of
yeah.
just dictating
yeah.
to you.
There's also a great Yeoman generator for Express,
yes.
which will set up some basic defaults. And so I like seeing like a good default set so I can go in and learn what they're doing and then Google it and then go from there. That's kind of how I learned new tech. So Yeoman generator Express is also
yeah, I think
an option.
I used that when I was first getting started with it as
yeah.
well. Cool. So thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Yeah, no problem.
This was a great explanation of all things middleware. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bye.
I won't wave. We're waving.
I'm waving at the microphone.
I wave every time. I don't know why. It's kind of a reflexive point.
I do too.